Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Let me prophesy that in the coming days, worship will rise to levels we've never been in before. Worship will rise into levels where it will be a funnel between heaven and earth, and angels will ascend and descend on the praises and the worship of the people of God. And all through our C3 churches, as we learn to worship in a new level, in a new way, the power of the Holy Spirit, He will cover us with great unction, great power, great oil from heaven. These are the beginning of days, the beginning of great worship, the beginning of a rolling praise, like a wave of glory that will come from heaven and hit the earth and crash upon the peoples of the planet. God Himself will pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and that we might glorify God. You are part of that wave. You are part of that glory. You are part of that revelation. And the glory of God will be revealed through all the earth. Listen to me, people of God. It is time to lift your voice and to praise Him. Do not think that praise is a song just to be sung. It is a weapon in your mouth. It is a force in your soul. It is a builder of the future. Worship will connect you with the heavenlies. Worship will connect you with the future. Worship will connect you with the power of the Almighty. In Jesus' name. Holy. The healing power and the majesty of heaven fill every heart here today in Jesus' name. And your Spirit fill hearts, fill lives. Holy God of heaven and earth, we worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're sitting next to me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank all the musicians. They do such a fine job. Always great to be in the house of God. Honestly, I hate stopping worship. We could go on forever, and until my voice runs out anyway. But worship is that place where you and I connect with the Father, and that's why we create a new album every year. And recently, worship has been rising higher and higher in my mind. The country that Chris and I came from, New Zealand, was known for awesome worship. And in that time of worship, that was when God would move in people's lives, mostly, like with prophecy or with healings and with miracles. And so worship is that environment in which the Holy Spirit moves powerfully. Prayer is another environment. Preaching is an environment in which that happens. But let me tell you, of all of them, you'll find that in praise and worship, you connect with another world. You will connect with the God of heaven in that moment, if you get into it. If you stand on the side, nothing much is going to happen. And we might be asking God to do things, and sometimes He's saying, well, I'm waiting for you just to come on in. Come on in here. I've got answers in my hands, but I want to be more important than the answers in my hands. So I need to get into a relationship with you wherein we are communing with one another. But this morning, as we get ready for this evening, understand it's not just another night. Tonight is a night of spiritual stepping forward and taking new land for the kingdom of God. And the first thing that I think of when I think of praise, there are three elements in the whole world of worship. That's thanksgiving, praise, and worship. When I think of praise, I think of joy, and I think of war. And when I knew that when you and I begin to praise God every morning in any of our C3 churches all around the world, whenever we begin to glorify God and lift Him up, we enter into a place of warfare. We have put a weapon in our mouth. And as we believe God, one of my great goals and visions, if you like, is to have a million worshipers in C3 congregations all around the world. Amen. You and I are going to see that happen, but I use the word worshipers rather than Christians or believers or anything else, because I know the people who are going to lift their hands and enter into worship have crossed the line into being a committed believer and are saying, this is what I am. This is how I'm going to do it. There's a popular song that's getting around a lot lately, and we sing it here. This is how I fight my battles. And we go, yeah, this is how I fight my battles. And, ooh, yeah. And I'm sure some of you are wondering how, because that's what all we're singing. This is how I fight my battles. And we're wondering, what's the how part? Like, what do we do? Well, this is it. In that same song, it says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but you need to know I'm surrounded by God. I'm surrounded by Him. Whatever is surrounding you right now, there's a bigger surround. There's a bigger surround around the surround. And that's the huge surround. Yeah, because there was a prophet, Elisha, and he had insight. He could hear the king's plans, even though he was 50 miles away. And the king of Syria was planning on ambushing Israel at various places, and he'd hear the plan, and he'd tell the king of Israel, and so he'd avert it. And so the king of Syria says, who's the spy? Who's telling people? He says, not us, it's that prophet. You can think a thought, and he'll know what it is. You speak things, he can hear it. He's spiritually tuned up. And so the king said, well, let's go down and kill him, and that'll finish that activity. So they come and they surrounded the house. And the servant of the prophet, Gehazi, he comes out and he goes, oh, we're surrounded. And in a kind of tiresome way, like worn out, sarcastic way, Elisha comes out and says, oh, Lord, open his eyes. I mean, let this kid see what's really going on here. And so suddenly Gehazi could see angels and the chariots of God and the forces of God completely surrounding the army that was surrounding them. And he said, oh, I'm okay. And that's the power of worship, because it opens our eyes to another world, another reality that will give us faith, that will help us realize more are with us than are with them. The God with us is bigger than the God that is trying to overwhelm us. When a problem seems big, it's because your God is too small. But worship magnifies the Lord. And you can't make God any bigger by your worship. But when it says magnify the Lord, it means see Him as He really is. Because you've been looking through the telescope the wrong way, and God looks so small compared to your very big problem. But when you come into the presence of God and you magnify God, suddenly you get the telescope around the way. That problem shrinks. Honey, I shrunk the problem. Amen. Woo! I put it in the praise machine. So, people, tonight, as we come to worship, and believe it or not, it's quite permissible, even encouraged, to go to church twice on a Sunday. I know God, you're kidding. Wow, get out of here. No, really, really, really. It's like, it can be done, and it's a phenomenal thing to turn up in the evening and instead of watching some boring old Netflix repeat or whatever, you're in the presence of the Almighty God. You're in the presence of angels. You're in the presence of Jesus Himself. Come on, let's draw together, make some noise, and get the next 12 months under a cloud of worship. Psalm 149 is where I'm speaking from. And this psalm is just wonderful. It describes what we're going to be doing tonight. and here today. And let's not just limit it to a night. I mean, it's a night that sets us up for all of our other services. Every weekend that we come together is super special. It's a worship moment where you and I can touch heaven and stir our soul, get revived, get clarity on situations in our thinking. And this psalm describes it in one of the best ways possible. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. What's it say, people? Okay, so that means, I can't see it any other way that God gets bored with old praise. He says, oh, not that song again. It used to be good, people, but you know, it's a little old now. You need fresh songs to get fresh life in you. I mean, you can be singing some of those old songs and answering your emails at the same time. You don't even have to think. It's like automatic. They just go. But a new song, you have to think. Oh, golly, the Father's love. How do you sing that melody? And so you're working on it. You've come alive again. Your brain is working. And your heart is working. And it captures you after a little while. You're drawn in and you find yourself experiencing God at a new level. That's why God does new things. Because old things, we get bored, we get used to it. So does God. He had an Old Testament. He got sick of it. He said, let's make a new one. So now we've got a New Testament, which is good, right? It's much better, this new one. There was an old you. He said, I reckon a new you would be a lot better. And so he got you born again. New heavens, new earth. He says, a little over that earth now, created it a long time ago. Yeah, so let's get a new one going. Boom! Only took 6 days to create this one. He's been working on the new one for 2,000 years. Can you imagine what the ski fields will be like? Can you imagine? No, it's beyond your imagination, the Bible says. Listen, and then he says, okay, his praise, let Israel rejoice in the Maker, let the children rejoice. Rejoice, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. How can you read the Bible as though it's some misery book? Let them praise his name with a dance. Come on, guys, when you're in church, the worship director, I'm working on it. I'm going to get that movement. Huh? Come on, guys, you got to get more than this going, you know, the sideways windmill. You got to get a few more things. Jump, dance. If you're not doing it on the outside, at least have a little jump going on the inside. Whatever it is, have a dance inside it. Even at home, you can do a dance. Yeah, and then. Let them sing praise to him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord, we do all that up here with bashing and crashing and things. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He loves it when you praise him. He will beautify the humble. You look a whole lot better. You get a facelift, beautify the humble. And salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. You ever done that? Yeah, no, don't tell me. Okay. Sing it aloud. I mean, you can talk and sing and worship all day long now, right? Since the advent of mobile phones and little cigarettes that you can stick in your ears. You see people walking around with those cigarette butts in their ears? I don't know what's going on. Apparently, you can talk to them and they talk back. That's weird, right? But it used to be that if I met a person, go, oh, no. If I saw a person like that, I'd think, poor boy, take him to a homeless shelter. You know, like, he's really had a. But now it's guys with suits on, you know, like, they got no bottle in a brown paper bag. They're walking like they're quite sane. They're talking in their device, and we all go, yeah, that's okay. They're not nuts. On the buses, everybody's blah, 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 talking to nobody, you think? So don't be embarrassed. Just go, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord God. Put a little cigarette butt in your ear and you'll be fine. That'll be, yeah, Lord Jesus, we're good. We're good, Lord God. Yeah, it's amazing, yeah. Lit up, people. Now, this is the message now. I'm at the message, people. And this is a message for you and I and all of our churches all around the world, because we are to be houses of praise, houses of worship. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, not in their head or on their books, in their mouth, not on their CD player. We don't have CDs anymore anyway. I was trying to think whatever you have. You just have your, yeah, on your Spotify, on your whatever. It's saying in your mouth. Okay. And a two-edged sword in the hand to execute vengeance on the nations, punishments on the people, binding their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron to execute on them the written judgment. This one I have all the same. I have literally experienced that, where a powerful, dark force, demon force, has been bound, neutralized, rendered completely harmless and ineffective through worship and praise and the sword of the Lord in my hand. So understand praise, which I've already talked about, it needs to have another accompaniment. And I don't want us just to have heart worship and praise, and that's all it is. We need to understand the full power of praise, because number one, it's a weapon, but it needs to be praise that has faith in it. To have just praise that is hopeful, praise that is sincere, praise that is trying to be devotional, and it has no faith in it, is going to be ineffective and will leave us feeling a little empty. When we really needed to reach out with our praise and be bold and courageous. The Bible says, having boldness, therefore, to come before the presence of God. We come before him, his throne boldly and confidently, not crawling, not begging, not pleading. We come boldly with praise and with worship and with faith in our hearts. And so that faith that we get for our praise comes from the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The greatest person to speak that faith into our hearts is you. You yourself, to speak the word of God to yourself. When you put the word of God in your mouth, it's like putting a sword that will smite and neutralize your enemies and heal your own self, building your own faith. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation, which is hope, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to take it up because we've dropped it so often. We try to fight the devil and fight the forces of darkness and try and fix problems with every other kind of thing. But God is wanting you to engage in the battle. Now listen to me, this is important, because there are times when you might be disappointed with God. But it's an unnecessary disappointment, because you were expecting something from him that he was expecting from you. It blows my mind how God wants to take us from babyhood, where he's spoon-feeding us, to adulthood, where we are actually navigating life ourselves. We'd like God to help us, but he says, if I helped you, to be treating you like a baby again. You're the answer to your own prayer sometimes. The disciples are in a boat, and the boat is being swamped with water. There's storms coming from everywhere. Where's Jesus? Asleep. Where's God when you're having your storm? He's sleeping in my boat. They go down, and they don't just get disappointed. They start accusing God of not caring for them, because they are drowning. They say, wake up, Jesus, don't you care? We are drowning. There'll be times when you've said that. Don't you care, God? I'm drowning. I'm overwhelmed with this emotional problem. I'm overwhelmed with debt. I'm overwhelmed with feelings that are negative. I'm overwhelmed with hopelessness and despair about the future. I'm being overwhelmed by circumstances in my life. God, help me. And it seems like sometimes he's doing nothing. Friends, he wants you to use the power that you have in your hand. He wants you to discover the power of Scripture. He loves hanging out with you, loves having fellowship with you. It's not about fellowship with God or relationship. This is about getting solutions in life. And he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, speak to the mountain. And that's a weird thing. Weird to have something here like a cigarette butt in your ear. Weird to be talking to yourself, but even stranger to be talking to your problem. Not talking about your problem. Not saying, oh man, I got this problem. And just, you know, I'm somehow thinking that God's going to answer me and get me through it. Don't talk like that. If it's too embarrassing to do it anyway, just go in your bedroom on your own and say, I'm speaking to you, bank account. Get full in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm speaking to this circumstance. This sale will go through. This house will be bought. Some of you sitting here this morning are feeling nervous about whether or not you're going to ever get married. Man, come here in Jesus' name. Amen. Woman, make sure you define the kind of person you're. Begin to pray. Why sit in a stew of nervousness, anxiety, fear, doubt, anger with God? Start to believe. That's the beautiful thing about faith. You can switch it on. And God says, once you've got this faith, nothing's impossible to you. All things are possible to him who believes. When you switch that on, you're going to find you crack open some of the most impossible circumstances you are ever facing. Don't doubt the power of this word to do the impossible. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. Don't give up. The hardest thing about faith is not having it. Keeping it is the hardest thing. You know, how do I know so much about this? Because I need it so bad. Because I lose it. And I'm walking, I believe God, I believe God, I believe, sort of believe. Maybe he's got a different idea. Well, no, I don't believe he's ever going to do it. No, it's over. That's 20 years down the line, you know? Then he comes along, visits me, kick in the backside. Oh, switch it on. I remember. I preach that. Yeah. I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. Amen. I have a revival sometimes of faith. I want you to have a revival of faith here in your soul. If it's dried up, beat up, bruised up, banged up, whatever it is, faith can get inside you. Especially once you decide to switch on. You say, I haven't got it. You have. It's in you. Every believer has a measure of faith. And when we praise God, I'm praising God for what he's done for me. But I'm also praising God for everything that is going on right now, whether it's good or bad. And more importantly than all, I'm praising God for a future that is blessed. That is, I've got a vision for, that you've got a vision for, that you can see. When you're in that place of worship, it opens your eyes and you see the unseen. You see what cannot be seen in any other way. Worship activates and triggers the release of all the spiritual gifts on the inside of you. The visions I've seen, the ideas I've had, the prophecies I've received come out of a time when I'm in praise and worship. And when I utter those, I find that I am seeing something into the future. When the prophet was about to prophesy to Jehoshaphat, he says, bring me a musician. I need a musician to play, and it'll stir something on the inside of me. Then I'll begin to prophesy. When Saul would get depressed, he'd call David, the psalmist, and David, the psalmist, would start singing, and the evil spirit of depression would leave him. The power of praise is that it's a weapon. And it's a healing force to snap and break the power of forces that are intent on your depression and despair. When you start to worship, hope comes back into your heart. Don't let it go. Jesus spoke scripture. When the enemy came against him, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He fought the enemy with the word of God, with the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. We will bind their nobles with fetters of iron. That's what the psalmist understood then, and that's what you and I can do now. God has put a weapon and a tool in your hand. He wants you to use it. He wants you to find and discover the power of speaking the word of God and the praises of God throughout all your days. 2 Corinthians 4:13. What a magnificent scripture this is. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I have believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We have the same spirit of faith as who? The psalmist, David. David had a spirit of faith, saw a giant, a creature three times his size, ran to it, said, I'll take it. You have the same spirit. That we having the same spirit. The same spirit that was in that giant killer is in you. You're a giant killer. David killed one giant. There were three other brothers of Goliath. Goliath, Goliaz, Goliant, and Golian. That wasn't their names, no. He had three brothers. David didn't need to kill them. Who killed them? David's disciples. The guys who were his mighty men, they all killed the other. They saw their leader do it. They said, we can do it. When your people around you see you can do it, you'll leave a legacy of overcomers in this life. People who say, nothing can overwhelm us, we will overwhelm it. Nothing is impossible to you, the believer. All things are possible to him who believes. Switch on that faith. You will find that as you start to speak the word of God, you bring a complete change into your world. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's a two-way, it's a two-element mechanism, the heart and the mouth. When you speak the word of God with your mouth, it puts faith in your heart. When you believe something in your heart, you speak with your mouth. We believe, therefore we speak. So you begin an endless cycle, an eternal, endless, never-ending cycle of faith building. As you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, This, what I'm talking about, is what pleases God. In fact, you can't please him without it. It is impossible to please God without faith. So God smiles when you step out. In fact, he smiled when Peter stepped out on the water. He smiled when Abraham left his home in Ur of the Chaldees. He smiled when Abraham went to offer up Isaac. He smiled when Jesus went to the cross looking into the future resurrection. He smiled as people actually did something that was an act of faith. As they began to speak, I mean, how miserable is it hanging around people who whine and complain and criticize, using their mouth for the lowest purpose it could ever be used for? We don't need that in our world. You don't need that in your world. Help people change their confession. Help people change their conversation, their communication, because we become the fruit of our conversation. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we eat the fruit of it, the Bible says. So we're going to either live great lives or live dead lives. If we can speak life into other people, everybody you meet, say, you're wonderful, you're doing such a great job. Be full of encouragement, and you'll find you'll boost the church, you'll boost other people. Occasionally, some people might need a little correction, but it's only a moment. The overall picture is that we live in a church in the kingdom of God where the sun has risen, and life comes from that sun into every single one of us. Faith is the gift of God that every single one of us have on the inside of us. We can't say, I don't have any faith. We actually have it. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. That word sin is from archery. It's from bows and arrows. It means to miss the mark. You fire an arrow, goes, hits one of the outside rings, goes off the whole target. It doesn't hit bullseye. Whatever is not in faith is not going to hit the mark. We don't hit our mark in life. You've got a bullseye to hit. Start believing God. You're going to hit it all the time. There are, when it says whatever is not of, and there's a lot of whatevers. There's the whatever of, Lord, I've done a lot of good work for you. Lord, I've been following you for a very long time. God, I'm very sincere. You know, Lord, I work hard down at the church. Lord, you know, God, I've made a lot of sacrifices for you. These all sound pretty good. You think that'd move God? You think that'd hit the mark? Yeah. Made a big sacrifice. Yeah, Lord. Oh, gave my whole life to Jesus, you know. I ain't going to do it. Whatever's not of faith. I need to walk in to that place of faith. I'm not going to earn anything from God with merit. I'm not going to earn anything from God because of time or because of the amount or faith. I'm believing, God. You are with me. Faith will straighten up every attitude on the inside of you. Faith is the thing that the upright walk by. As soon as you start to believe God, you can't be sorry for yourself. You can't be miserable. You got to start being happy. Oh, God, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, then I'd be up. Yes. And how many doors would open for you straight away? Because, you know, oh, Lord, I don't think I'm much of a preacher, but I just think I'm a pretty bright person to be around. So a lot of people open doors for me. Just, I think, they're like a little brightness in their world, like something to brighten up their heart. That's you and I. We take the climate. We're the weatherman or the weather girl. We announce what the weather, what the climate will be in any situation that we walk into. You do not want to be the person who brightens up the room when they leave. You're the person who brightens up the room when you come in. And you bring healing, you bring life, you bring joy. You're a walking party in Jesus' name. 2 Peter 1:4, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Okay, exceedingly. Why is exceedingly? Because they exceed anything you're facing. You can sit here and think, oh boy, I wish this was true. It is true. You're sitting here thinking, oh, I don't know if I could get up there. You can get there. You might say, oh, it hurts to be positive because I've been disappointed before. Just come on that journey. We'll take you gently. Amen. Believe a little bit. Just take a little step. Okay, I just got to trust a little bit. Start to believe again. Instead of thinking and speaking and being negative all the time, I got to start. Things will work out. We'll get there. Exceeding great and precious promise. It's precious because they're the only things that'll do it. Jesus said to the disciples when they asked, what shall we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God. Believe. When I read that, I go, God, that's not work. That's easy. Believing. And I was like 6 months old as a Christian when I read that. Little did I know that believing is like the hardest work there is. To start to believe when you don't want to believe. When doubt seems delicious. When negativity is your refuge. When you just want to go away in a corner and eat worms. You know, it's like, God, I say, come on, believe. And you go, okay, I'm going to get a little more ruthless with my emotions. I'm going to start believing God. And I feel the smile of heaven. That's my boy, at a spirit. And that is starting to be like God, because even God himself operates by faith. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. God himself, Mark 11, verse 22, says, have the faith of God. When you start to walk in faith, you become like a child of your Father in heaven. And you're walking in a zone where His power is going to walk with you. All of us come from different professions. Some of us come from artistic backgrounds. Some of us come from commercial backgrounds, educational backgrounds, sporting backgrounds, whatever. This applies to all of us. For some people in my background, the artist world, it's like you got to be negative, you got to be dark. The best art comes out of the valley, and you're just going to be a miserable person all your day. And that's not true, people. I do actually paint some things, and I am kind of happy. Ryan Smith would be one of the funniest guys I know. He's written some of the greatest songs I've ever sung about the Holy Spirit. We don't need to buy into an idea that takes us out of this zone where God lives. I'm just trying to help you come into a world where you can actually tap into a whole dimension that maybe has been eluding you. And you're wondering, how am I ever going to get there? And this might have been a real shock to your system. Like, oh, Lord. But this is a shock you need just about every day. Come on, admit it. It's like nourishes my soul. This is something that will help me rise and get out of just living in a zone where I never am feeling happy or joyful. And God is wanting you to have a merry heart. A merry heart will do you good like a medicine. For some people, even as Christians, they think, oh, that'd be too shallow. I'm a deep Christian. I'm a deep and miserable person. That's not what God ever intended for you. A joyful believer, in spite of what's going on, is where Paul told us to be. I like the musicians just to come right now. You know, God has got so many great things in store for every one of us. And I believe that praise is the key. It's the key of David that unlocks every door. It unlocks doors that have been shut and shuts doors that have been opened. And for all of us here today, this is such an opportunity here in this beautiful day of worship to rise into powerful worship, praise and worship that glorifies God.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.